Hello, I'm Bill Davidson, Water Vibe Ministries, Plano, Texas. We are back for this last hour. It's about 50 minutes. Worshiping and praising God. We're moving on from the book of Galatians to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, a powerful book. Powerful. They all are. The Word of God is powerful. It's energetic. It's got power. It's life. It'll shake you up. It'll set you free. Thank God. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Think it's not? That's why it hurts. That's why people don't like the power of God speaking the Word, preaching the Word. Why? Because the Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And they say, oh, that hurts. Well, yes, that hurts. It's meant to be hurt, to hurt. In Jeremiah chapter 23, it says that the Word of God is a fire and a hammer. You say, that's Old Testament. Why don't you preach new? How about Hebrews 4? The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Is that Hebrews 4:12? Somebody got a Bible?
I sure do.
Look and see. I wasn't intending to go here. Is that 4:12?
That is 4. Yes. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirits, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Is that it?
That's it.
Now, you think the Word of God spoken by the Spirit is not energetic, not powerful? You know what it does? It divides the soul from the spirit. It gets down into the joints. And even in the marrow, now we're way ahead, but God's never ahead. He wants you to know that this ministry is not a Pharisee ministry. This ministry is led by the Spirit of God. This is well down the road, the book of Hebrews. It'll be fun when I get to Hebrews, but right now we're going to have fun in the book of Ephesians. How's that? Thank God. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 1, Kathy D. will be reading.
Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
1 minute. You know no apostle is called on his own or by men, but it's by the will of God. Any person that says he's an apostle of finance, apostle of healing, apostle of prayer, apostle of whatever, forget them. They're nothing. They're zeros. Yeah. An apostle is an office. Thank God. And it's the first set in the church. 1 Corinthians 12:28. God set first in the church an apostle. Secondarily a prophet. Thirdly a teacher. You say, oh yeah, that was back in the days of Jesus. Oh no, that's the days in the days of Doyle. How do you like that one? I haven't been alive 2,000 years. But it won't be long, be alive forever. I ain't like that. Let's go.
Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Notice grace and peace to the people at Ephesus. And who's it from? The Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. People walk up and say, mercy, 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 mercy. Well, if it's not God saying it, it's not mercy. People say, peace, peace. If it's not God saying it, it's not peace. No, not peace at all. Not mercy, not grace. Grace, grace, grace. Boy, this is a fun time. Zechariah 4:6. The Zerubbabel will come speaking grace, grace, grace. That's 7, I think. Grace, grace, grace to the mountain. Grace, grace, grace to this mountain. Grace, 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 grace to this mountain. Grace, grace, grace to this mountain. That mountain will become a plain. Flat. Just walk on it. Hey, Ephesians may become more fun than Galatians. What's next?
Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, the Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, does that affect us on earth? Oh, of course. When you're blessed in heavenly places, you're far above principality, power, might, dominion. You're above the devil. You just laugh at him. Jesus paid no attention to the devil. Do you know that? Next.
Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
Whoa. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he had what?
Chosen us.
According as he chose you. He chose you and blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Look, folks, for your sake, humble yourself and find what you've been chosen to do. What you've been chosen. Don't try to be something that you're not. For your sake, not mine. For your sake. Know what God has chosen you to be and what he has chosen you to do, and he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places to perform that. You know why my ministry worked so well? You know why it worked well during 9 years of power of darkness attack? Because it was chosen by God, pardon me, and I walked in the Spirit of God and did his will all those 9 years, as I had previously done for more than 35 years. I guess it was 34. Next.
Well, continue with the verse. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
Chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, did you know you didn't come out of a bar one day and been drunk and God said, I think I want that one. Now, you may have come out of a bar drunk. But you were his when you went in the bar before you got drunk. Chose us before the foundation of the world. That is a long time back, folks. Your God's choice for you to bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places is years back. Years. Now, this didn't just happen today. Oh, well, there's somebody right there, Lord, that says, oh, I think I might use that one. Nah, that's not it. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Now, if you can get this and believe this, it's going to help you. Humble yourself and acknowledge that God didn't find you one day. And you didn't find Jesus because he was never lost. You know, years ago, I'm going to offend some people, but that's too bad. That's God's business. They came out with a bumper sticker. I found it. I found it. What'd you find? You never found him. You never found anything. It says that God, in John 6, that no man can come to Jesus except the Father bring him, draw him. And guess who the Father would bring to Jesus? Someone that he chose in Jesus before the foundation of the world and decided at that time to bless you, I, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So, we're not just a bunch of renegades that God found. We may be a bunch of renegades, or were, but God knew us before the foundation of the world. Next.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Did you get that? Chose you for the foundation of the world that you might be holy in him in love. Is that right?
Be holy and without blame.
Oh, without blame. Oh, yes. Thank you. You know, when somebody blames me for something, I laugh. I laugh, my goodness sakes. Those silly people, they blame me for everything, my goodness. You know, they even got some information to people very close to me, and the people that were close to me told me to not have their website on my computer. My people real close. You know why? Because a bunch of renegades told them lies, and my people that were close to me believed their lies. Is that funny? It was to me. I laughed. It didn't offend me when they said, would you please take our address off of your website? Oh, of course. Didn't bother me. All you had to do was say, delete. That took a lot of effort, didn't it? Next.
5. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will.
Predestinated us to be adopted in Christ, right?
By Jesus Christ unto himself, or to himself.
Right, by Jesus Christ. And it was not his good pleasure?
According to the good pleasure of his will.
Good pleasure of God's will, right?
Right.
He adopted us in Christ. Is that right?
That's right. Having predestinated us.
Oh, he decided that way back. When? With the foundation of the world.
Right.
Now, what do we do next?
Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will.
Right.
6. To the praise of the glory of his grace.
Right.
Wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved.
Whoa. Is that 6 or 7?
That's 6.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Made us what? Accepted? Did that say that?
Accepted in the beloved.
In Jesus, right?
Right.
He's the beloved, right? Accepted. Did you know that before the foundation of the world, God chose you, me, to be accepted in Christ without blame? Nothing. You can't, nobody can take you away from Jesus. You know that? Well, nobody's going to take you away from the Lord. Don't you know you got angels all around you? Do you think the Lord would let anybody take his sheep away from him? Huh? You know what? If you think that someone or a spirit could take you away from Jesus, that is unbelief. Get rid of it. Oh, you don't know how many people try to scare me about what God's going to do to me. I said, oh, yeah, I'm really scared. Yes, I'm sure he sent you to lie to me. That don't scare me at all. Why? Because I know the word. Accepted, right?
Accepted in the beloved.
That's Jesus. Now, so, you know what your problem is? Rejection. Rejection. If Christ has accepted you to be conformed to his image, chosen before the foundation of the world by God, to be blessed with all spiritual blessings, there is nothing, nothing that can separate you from that. If you ever read Romans 8, you ought to. There's a whole list of things there. Can't separate us from the love of God. Well, you're not in danger of going anywhere. Do you know that? Well, you're not. You look, Christ is watching over you. If not, he's got his angels. See, I didn't believe in angels, so I thought Jesus was the only one to ever talk to you. I had an angel in my car for 2 years sitting there talking to me, and I thought it was Jesus. When the Lord started talking, it got more serious. See, don't be afraid. Get rid of your unbelief. Well, I'm not afraid anybody's going to take me out of this ministry. Do you know that?
Amen.
What?
Amen.
Well, nobody can. You know why? Well, the Lord, the Father chose me. He chose you. Do you think that you're here because of your good will, good looks, or you're a good lobbyist? Or no, you're here because God chose you. Before the foundation of the world, to be accepted in Jesus. What a blessing. See, back in the 70s, there were all kinds of wild people running around. They were trying to scare me and scare me by telling me this and that. But you know, I could read. I could read. I said, bless God, this Bible says this. And bless God, I'm going to tell you something else. A spirit told me to sell 121 Veterinary Hospital. Sell my farm, sell my horses, sell my cattle, get rid of my investments, and go and obey it. And I have. And I've obeyed that spirit. I've obeyed that spirit for years. And they said, you're going to get cut out. I said, I don't think so. I don't think so. If I've been chosen before the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of Jesus, Romans 8, predestined to be accepted in Jesus, Ephesians 1, if that's so, you're not going to get rid of me. Now, y'all may not believe me, but that's how I stood the test of the 70s. Was I tested? I guess so. I was so happy the day Derek Prince wrung his hands and said, I've never met anybody like you. I don't know what to do with you. I said, thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. That day I knew that I'd overcome a spirit that wanted to rule my life, dominate me, and it was not going to be able to. And I was a happy camper. I will tell you that for certain. I no longer had any kind of fear that I need to follow anybody except Jesus. Now, that doesn't say that you're not to obey those that have rule over you, and that happens to be me. And you obey the word, that's all. Obey what I say, the word of God, nothing else. I'm not going to tell you to not buy a certain color suit. We used to have this nut that came here. Well, she was nutty. She said, the Lord directed her in what to wear. She said, I put my hand in my closet. Lord, tell me. Oh, that's it, right there. If a spirit ever does you that way, say, Lord, I don't know if this is you or not, but I'm going to try this dress, see if it'll work. Don't be so spiritual. Anybody here want to leave? You can't. God brought you. What's next? All of you have been accepted in Jesus. Let's go.
Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
In Christ we have redemption in his blood. Redemption through his blood. All right? Next.
8. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
He's what?
Abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
Abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Next.
9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will.
Having made known unto us, that's us, the mystery of his will. Those that have been, that he's accepted in Christ. All right? Next.
According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ.
All. One. Folks, hate me, I don't care. That cuts out denominationalism, every bit of it. You can hate me for telling you the truth. We'll get to the 4th chapter, there's one body. Body of Christ. Let's go on.
Both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him.
Heaven and in earth. Oh, wait a minute. This is one family, isn't it? Go ahead.
11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Go on.
That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ.
Go on.
13. In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Notice that verse 13 and 14 I've taught for years. But God taught me this in the 1960s revelation to me about that there are two experiences. One, the gospel of your salvation, you believe and you're born again. And that's the second experience, and that's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's earnest, the down payment for your redemption, for your salvation, for your inheritance. God taught me that. And wasn't very long after that, he put me in a charismatic movement. And thank God I knew. I had a revelation of these verses because in the charismatic movement, there was every kind of wind, doctrine, and error that you can imagine. Next.
14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Amen. Next.
15. Where I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you.
Paul heard about their love in salvation, that he ceased not to give thanks for these people at Ephesus. You know, I thank God for people. I thank God. Sometimes I just say, I thank God for these people today, and I don't hardly know who they are. But the thanksgiving that I lay upon them causes the grace to abound in their life. Next.
Continuing, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
Hold it. You know, for years on national television, shortwave radio, all over the world, I prayed that prayer every time that I spoke. Every TV program I made, every radio, everything, I prayed this prayer for the world. Go on.
18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
Notice that you have to have a spirit of wisdom and a revelation, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened, that you will know the hope of his calling. Isn't that next?
That is next.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
You know the hope of his calling. You also know the riches. The riches of the glory. Read that. I can't quote exact.
And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. There you go. You're going to get that by receiving a spirit of wisdom and of knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You're going to get it because I've been praying for you for years, praying for the world, many years. God gave me this revelation, and I've been praying for many, many years for the church all over the world, not just in Plano, but all over the world. That's why you got it. Because God separated me into the gospel when it was time to pray for you, the world, and that you would receive a spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. You know the hope of his calling. You know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And next, what is it we know?
19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe?
Right. Notice that also comes. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to all of us that will believe? It comes because I prayed for you. Did you know I was in Florida in 1971? God sent me there. He sent me there. I was a veterinarian, had a large veterinary practice in North Texas. God required me to sell it and sent me to Florida. And I used to do equine, ended up doing cats and dogs, and took a lot of humility for me to do it, but I did, and monkeys. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I had on a white jacket one day, and some lady had a rhesus monkey running to me. Set that little thing right in front of me. He got my jacket and started climbing up here. Monkey, sit down. I was used to dealing with horses, not a pound and a quarter monkey. Amen. But I was in that in my backyard on a Thursday afternoon in Hollywood, Florida, mowing my yard, and I stopped to get a drink of water. And the Lord said to me, I was shocked. You have been faithful to pray for your government. Now I want you to pray for a revival in North Texas. I had no idea I'd ever come back to North Texas. But 1 year later, God sent me back. But I've been praying for this area and people all over here and all over the world since 1971. That's why you are what you are. Next.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ?
Notice that God worked that power in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead. He works that power in you. You don't, I want to tell you something. You don't have a spirit you can work. It works through you. If you got a spirit that you can work, it's the devil. You hear me? If you have a spirit you can use, it's the devil. God works through you. It's right here. Go ahead.
When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. 21, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, last first, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
You know what he did when God, when the Father raised Jesus from the dead? He set him above everything. Every principality, power, might, dominion, every name, it doesn't matter. He put him above the whole thing. And he made him the head of the church, which is his body. It's called the church. It's called the body of Christ. There's just one church. And it's not the Holy Catholic Church. It's one church. Thank God. It's called the body of Christ. You get that? It's the body of Christ. And he made him the head over all of that. You know what else he did? He fills all of us with all of him. This is simple teaching, folks. Don't get too ecclesiastical and get too puffed up in your mind, because you don't know what you're doing when you do.